Dad said that the boys and girls hated to head back to the panhandle of Florida in the morning, and we certainly hate to have them head back, but I'd like to issue an invitation right now to them to be with us on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1964, for the 12th annual Florida Folk Festival. Will you back me up on that? A folk festival's not a folk festival without a little tale telling. And we have a queen of a storyteller here all the way from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Stephen Foster's home, and where the first memorial to Foster was set up at the University of Pittsburgh. I give you a lovely lady, Cousin Peggy Hodges, whose husband is curator of the Foster Hall collection, here to tell you a wonderful story about a wonderful American fellow who can't be beat. And I'll bet he sowed some apple seeds right down here on the banks of the Suwannee River. If he didn't then, he'll do it tonight. Johnny Appleseed. Cousin Margaret.
I want to tell you a story from my valley. A story from the valley of the Ohio River, Stephen Foster's other river. Right now, up there, the apple trees are all in bloom. But it wasn't always so. Long ago, before the pioneers came, it was a big, big country. It was a deep, wide, lonely country. There was nothing out west of Pennsylvania excepting the wilderness, just the animals and the Indians and the tall trees in the lonesome wind. And that was sad. There were no apple trees there at all. And it would be sad now, except for a man whose name was Jonathan Chapman. He was a lean and lonely man who loved apples. Jonathan Chapman never threw away an apple seed or ate an apple core in his whole life. My great-grandmother, out in Licking Creek, Ohio, saw him, and she said he was a funny-looking man. He was very tall and skinny, and he had on a gunny sack for his shirt. And inside the gunny sack, he carried some books. On his head, he had a stew pan. And he used that for a hat in the daytime. And at night, he'd cook some mush for supper in the stew pan. And he never wore shoes all his life, unless he just had to. Once, when Jonathan Chapman was walking west, a covered wagon passed him on its way to the wilderness, and he heard a child crying. The child was saying, "I don't want to go. I want to stay here. I don't want to leave the apple trees." And Jonathan Chapman said, "I love apples too. Don't cry, child. I'll plant some apple trees for you." And the child stopped crying and smiled and went on in the covered wagon toward the wilderness. Jonathan Chapman walked along in Pennsylvania until he came to a cider mill. And there he stopped. And he started looking through the apple mash and picking out the apple seeds and putting them in a little sack. And the men at the cider mill said, "What are you doing?" And they laughed. "I'm getting apple seeds," said Jonathan Chapman. "What's your name?" said the man at the cider mill. "My name's Johnny," he said. "Johnny," they said, and they laughed again. "Johnny, Johnny Appleseed." And that's what he was called from that time on. He took the apple seeds in that little sack, and he started west with them. And wherever he came to a place where the earth was rich, by the riverside, he'd stop and work. He had an axe with him, and he had a shovel, and he had a hoe. And he'd take the axe and clear off the ground, and then he'd dig it up and make it soft for the apple seeds. And he planted them bending over, and a child went with him. And he planted the apple seeds in straight rows. And then he said to the child, "When this place where you live is a town, there'll be apple trees by every cabin." And he put up a thick, tight fence of brushwood all around the apple seeds. And the women said, "Oh, apple trees, just like home." And the children jumped hippity-hop and said, "Apples, apples." And so he went on west all the time, wearing his gunny sack and with his stew pot on his head. And after a while, the apple trees began to grow all through the wilderness. But Johnny Appleseed kept ahead of the apple trees. Still, he wasn't lonely because he had the animals with him. Whenever they saw him coming, they weren't afraid because they knew he didn't have a gun, just his shovel and his axe and his hoe. And Johnny Appleseed would sit down sometimes all by himself in the forest with just the animals around him. Once when he was cooking his supper in the wilderness, he was trying to make a fire on the end of an old log. And a mother bear and her four little ones came out of the other end of the log because the smoke had made them cough. "Excuse me, Mrs. Bear," said Johnny Appleseed. "I'll move." And he went on and left the bears alone. In the wintertime, he used to carry one shoe with him, not two. And since he didn't have anyone to talk to, he used to talk to his feet a lot of the time. And he'd put that one shoe on one foot, and then he'd talk to the other foot and say, maybe to his left foot, "Foot, yesterday you stumbled over a log in that creek I was walking through. Now you were a bad foot. Today you have to go bare, and you have to follow your brother foot like a good boy." My great-grandmother in Licking Creek, Ohio, felt sorry for Johnny Appleseed, and she tried to give him a coat and a pair of shoes. But he said, "I don't need a coat. I've got this gunny sack." "Well, that's not good enough," my grandmother said. "That's not a real coat." And she made him take a coat. But he wouldn't take the pair of shoes. And the next day, a tramp came back through town wearing the coat. He said that Johnny Appleseed had given it to him. Well, the years passed, and in the fall, the apple trees were everywhere, loaded down with juicy red apples. And the children would eat them in the frosty evenings by the fire and say to their mothers, "Where's Johnny Appleseed? Do you think he's cold? Do you think he has enough to eat?" and their mothers would say, "Don't you worry. Johnny Appleseed's all right. He's not cold, and he's got something to eat. But you save your apple seeds, because in the spring, Johnny Appleseed's going to be back, and he'll plant them." So the years passed, and Johnny Appleseed's hair grew white on his shoulders. His toes were as tough as sticks of wood. He went on west and west, and the animals went with him until he got as far as the Rocky Mountains. And there the animals said, "Where do we go now, Johnny Appleseed?" There wasn't any place for them to go, because now where there was a track through the wilderness, there were roads. Where there were just little villages, there were towns. And when one thing comes, something else has to go. And so the animals had to go, the Indians had to go, Johnny Appleseed had to go. But still, up in the Ohio River Valley, sometimes in the spring, in the evenings, you can still see Johnny Appleseed singing along through the orchards, wearing his old gunny sack with his stewpot hat on his head.
Thank you, Cousin Margaret, for coming such a long way to tell that traditional tale so beautifully. Let's give her another hand. Now, one of our favorite folk singers was a little late getting here. I don't know how she did get here. That doesn't matter. She had an engagement over in the panhandle with her band from Gainesville High School. Our lovely little folk singer, my friend and your friend, Diane Weldon, who knows hundreds of folk songs. She's been singing them since she was 2 and a half. And I'm proud of the fact that she did her first public singing for me. Diane, a senior at Gainesville High School now, and still singing. What are you going to sing for us, Diane?
I'm going to sing The Maiden's Lament.
All right.
And I don't have my costume on because the zipper broke before. So that's why I'm here.
That's all right. You look pretty enough, just as you are.
One day as I rambled down by the seashore, the wind it did whistle, the waves they did roar. I spied a fair damsel make a pitiful cry. It sounded so lonesome in the waters nearby. Sing, I never will marry, I'll be no man's wife. I expect to live single all the days of my life. The shells in the ocean will be my deathbed. The fish in deep water swim He's the one I adore. He's gone where I never will see him no more. She plunged her fair body in the water so deep. She closed her sad blue eyes in the water to sleep. Sing, I never will marry. I'll be no man's wife. I expect to live single all the days of my life.
Thank you, Diane. Actions always speak louder than words, don't they? Let's give her another hand, please. Cousin Will McLean hadn't been to the folk festival before till yesterday, but we hope he'll never stay away, for he's made up some beautiful songs. Tate's Hell is one of them. We need singers like Will to write songs today to become the tradition of tomorrow. Will McLean, and I noticed that another fine musician, Cousin Jimmy Rogers, slipped in there with him at my bidding. We welcome Jimmy, a fine musician, a fine singer, both Jimmy knowing many, many traditional songs. Will?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Cousin Thelma, and it's a great honor for me to have Gamble Rogers with me this evening. We have played before together and done a few little songs, and he's going to do one of his compositions after the Ballad of Tate's Hell. Oh, listen, good people, a story I'll tell of a great swamp in Florida, a place called Tate's Hell, 140 square watery miles with millions of skeeters and big yellow flies, and where all about the moccasins lie with glittering death in their beady eye, where bull gators beller and panthers squall. Now this is a place to be shunned by all. Old Tate left Sumatra long about dark. He had his two big dogs and a puppy named Spark. An old long-tom shotgun, a sharp Barlow knife, that panther was sure have the chase of his life. A little past moon down, the dog struck the scent. Through bramble and tie-tie, a running Tate went. For hours and hours until it was dawn, then Tate knew that he was a long way from home. He blowed through his gun barrel, the dogs did not hear. The panther had killed him, and now Tate felt fear. The sun was not shining, the mist it was thick. Oh Lordy, Tate hollered, I'm lost up the creek. He leaned back to rest and his eyes did not see. The big rattler struck him above the bent knee. The lick was so hard that a sprawling he fell. This was a beginning of poor old Tate's hell. He opened his Barlow and he grabbed him some moss. A
cut he made one way, another across. He wrapped his leg tightly and tied it with string. Then sickness came on him, his body turned green. When Tate was discovered, these words he did tell. My name is old Tate, boys, I've just been in hell. These few spoken words were the last that he said. His spirit had left him. Old Tate, he was dead. No man can dispute this legend of yore, how Tate lived a full week and in 5 days more, and somehow crawled out near Caribel from the deep ghostly swamp that we know as Tate's Hell. Thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jambo Rogers.
I'd like to do a homemade song that pays homage to the animals.
Hopscotch in the jungle with nothing much to do, when along come Noah with a puzzle look and a blueprint in his hand. Gonna build me an oleander ark and go floating on the land. Last night I saw an awful sign while talking to the loo. Big Dipper turned up sideways pouring silver on the moon. Oh, the bear was strangled in the flood, so swift it was and strong. And a starry ship was sailing there 300 cubits long. Well, now some beavers cut the timber down and an elephant laid the keel. A sawfish cut the ribs and planks and termites carved the wheel. And a crew of silkworms spun her sails while a hummingbird took stitch. And bumblebees caulked every seam with black bitumen pitch. Then she sailed above the mountaintops all on the frosty tide. And storm and flood and lightning blast were turned at every side. Oh, the rainbow on Mount Ararat will tell us to this day how the animals built an ark for man and know the perfect way. Thank you. There are a great many songs of sentiment, and particularly about the Civil War. For the benefit of our non-Southern visitors, I'd like to sing this song. It is a very sentimental song about two little boys who grow up together and go off to war together and fight for the Northern Army. Summer's day, warriors bold. of course. One little chap had a mishap. He broke off his horse's head. He wept for his toy and then cried for joy when he heard his brother say, "Do you think I could leave you crying when there's room on my horse for you? So climb up here, Joe, and stop your crying. We'll mend up your horse with glue. When we grow up, we'll both be soldiers. Our horses will not be toys. And then perhaps we'll remember when we were just two little boys." They marched away. Cannons roared loud in that wild crowd where wounded and dying Joe lay. Then came a cry, a rider dashed by out of the ranks of blue. He galloped away to where Joe lay. He heard his brother say, "Do you think I could leave you dying when there's room on my horse for you? So climb up here, Joe, we'll soon be flying back to the boys in blue. Can't you see, Jack, I'm all a tremble? It might be the flash and the noise, or it may be because I remember when we were just two little boys."
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I'm so glad you sang the homemade song and that beautiful, poignant Two Little Boys. As you can see with half an eye, our neighbors from the other side of the river are raring to go. The Lake City Squares and their caller, Bill Camp, who come every folk festival Saturday night to dance for us. It's a pleasure to have the Lake City Squares here tonight.
One, two, three, four. We would like to check out just a little bit here on sound. Can the dancers hear me now across the hall? There, we've been having a little trouble with the other dancers. Can you hear me across? How about outside now? Do you hear me out there? Now, we would like to... Wait a second.
I got some feedback.
We would like to... We would like to give you our kind of style of dancing now. This is a little bit different from what you have been seeing. This is a dance now that you're going to see...